Greetings everyone, this is Doug. Recently I had the pleasure and opportunity to interview the brainchild and band leader behind my favorite band from 1990, Incognito. I was able to catch up with Bluey at his home in London one night. They're on tour break and he's doing some promotional things for the band. I got a chance to talk to him about the latest release, Surreal, as well as Incognito as a whole. I'd like to give special thanks to Donna Mercer of Elements of Jazz for recommending me to do the interview, as well as his lovely wife Takami for setting it up, and his publicist Rob. So without further ado, let's get right into it.
Hi, Doug.
Bluey, how are you?
All right, man.
Good. Thank good you. To catch up with you, man. I'm aware of the time difference here. Thank you for taking the chance to taking the time to speak with me. I definitely appreciate it.
No problem, bro.
Great, man. Great. I was at the Washington, D.C. tour when you guys stopped through and was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. I was five rows back center stage, and it was magic. How has the tour been so far?
It was really, really, really good. You know, it's like America is very, you know, it's a very special place because where the music came from, that we actually, you know, we're actually making, you know, it's like go to a place like Washington and, you know, it's like there's so many references, you know, from like when you think of like a track or Roots, if it wasn't for like a Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers, you know. And if there would be, if there wasn't any of that DC sound, if it, you know, and if music of people like my head's fried this time of night.
So not a problem, man. Not a problem.
But, you know, a lot of music that came out of Washington. So everywhere we went, you know, like when we went to Detroit, we went to the Motown studio, and we were just in touch with so much music and realized that so much of what we do, you know, is got, you know, the references, you know. I was thinking of Gil Scott-Heron earlier, actually, and that's what my brain went blank.
Right.
Yeah, you know, in D.C. But, you know, so just being back in America, and every time I go there, I think what a privilege it is for us to be able to got this music and being up on stage playing, you know, music that influenced us and gone through us and become our creations, and people, you know, are actually, you know, like our soundtrack, you know, and our music is some of their soundtrack of their lives now in America. So it's amazing.
Well, I tell you, it's definitely part of my soundtrack. I actually discovered Incognito probably around the Tribes, Vibes and Scribes, Positivity Era. And
all right, early 90s.
Early 90s. And when I had found out about jazz funk, mm-hmm. I had to go back and get that. And let's see, if I remember correctly, there's been 15 actual releases, 3 remix CDs, or 12 actually releases and 3 remix CDs for a total of 15 releases?
No, there's 15 studio albums.
15 studio albums, okay, right. Yeah. It is. I've gotten every one of them, and I think you put it well. I think for the fans that I know of personally, as well as those on Facebook and MySpace and the other genres, the music of Incognito has definitely painted a soundtrack for many people's lives, and I think I can speak on behalf of the fans that we're very grateful for what you have brought, not in terms of just music, but your humanitarian efforts as well.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah,
definitely. I think a lot of the fans, like myself, know the concept behind Incognito. I was on discogs.com earlier just looking at your information, and we know that Incognito changes from, if you want to say release to release or from time to time, and your Discogs information is huge. There's a question I always wanted to ask you. From jazz funk, even up until now, how do you maintain the knack for surrounding yourself and being involved with such a tremendous amount of talented musicians. Every time you bring someone new into the group, whether it's a musician or a vocalist, the magic is heightened. It's amazing to me how you have the knack to do that.
Yeah, I think that there's always a group of musicians who are attracted to the diversity of our sound, because there's so many people can find a piece of themselves in it. You know, some bands, you know, they're like either, you know, they're jazz or they're funk or they're R&B, you know. And with us, we could be any of those things, you know, and we could also be a little bit of Brazilian, exactly. A little bit African, you know, in places, you know. We'll make journeys, we'll work with musicians from different countries, so there'll be a kind of like maybe in the little Eastern or European attitude in the strings on a comp. But so I suppose a lot of musicians that are drawn to our music find a piece of them in that music. So we attract from a bigger palette. If you know, it's like we have more colors to play with. If you get my drift.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So therefore, and also knowing that I started the band with it in mind to be a collective more than a band, we always find people who really, you know, have a real love for music, and sometimes have shunned away from a commercial world because. Maybe because of not just because of their talent, because that if it was just based on talent, these people would be you know, the people would be listening to all the time, you know.
Exactly.
You know, maybe because of their color or their size or their age or you know their lack of big name credits to on their list, you know. Those things that matter in other worlds other than ours, you know?
Exactly, so, exactly.
So we have people that are drawn to Incognito and they let me know and I'll kind of, you know, and of course also my ears are always, the very nature of the band, my ears are always like popped open and ready to kind of receive the sound of new people. Sometimes that is also where a band's been going for a while and they kind of just settle into their rhythm. I like to kind of find new ways to do things. So therefore, I'm out, you know, listening to bands and going to various studio sessions to meet people, you know. So I'm quite still active. My life is surrounded with music. Sometimes if people get to a certain age and they go, okay, you know, it's like now I kind of mellow out. People come to me. I don't go out much. And, you know, and I'm still kind of like networking all the time, you know.
Right, right. I think that's you mentioned a couple key words there, and I think it's a good segue to my next question. You mentioned age. You mentioned newness. And going back to Surreal, I've read and I've heard you say on a number of different occasions that this particular release is sort of a rebirth for Incognito in that you went out and got some younger, very vibrant, very talented artists such as Mo Brandis.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate just a little bit on that? I know you talked about it a lot, but...
No. It's just that, you know, on the last album, Transatlantic RPM, the pinnacle, really, I could have gone for more of the same, you know, trying to kind of like do almost like a Santana type, you know, full of guests, you know, right. A bit like what Robert Glasper's done on his last album.
Exactly.
But I kind of did that, but in a much more subtle way on the last record.
Uh-huh.
But I did it with like the people who I really, really were at the top of my list, you know. Right. It's like as a songwriter, you know, other than having Marvin in the room as well with Leon, Marvin isn't around, but Leon and Marvin were like the Dons for me. So, you know, having worked with, as a songwriter with Leon Ware and having performed on the album, having my dream vocalist, you know, from the day I heard Chaka Khan, you know, it's like my head was just like, right, you know, she's the queen, you know. It's exactly. Like, you know, other people have their queen of soul, their, you know, but for me, she has that right blend of jazz and soul that, you know, she kind of fell in that category, kind of like, for me, that was kind of like between the best of the soul singers and the best of the jazz singers, you know.
Right.
So she was my dream vocalist for as long as I can remember wanting to have a singer in the band, you know.
Exactly.
And you know, to finally get to write with her and perform with her, and also the guy who actually, you know, from the time he played in the Watts band and he played in Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, it's like I'd listen to him play, and you know, this is an Incognito album, you know. So there you are.
Yeah. Somehow I lost you. Okay.
Where was I?
You mentioned Leon. I believe you're talking about Leon Ware, maybe Earth, Wind & Fire.
With Leon Ware?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, I was saying that I'd reached a kind of pinnacle with that kind of you know, working with my peers thing. You know, I just thought this new album should be more about, you know, did I tell you about working with Chaka Khan?
Yes, you did. I got that part.
And also with Al McKay?
Al McKay is who you might have been referring to. I did read that somewhere.
Yeah, okay, all right. So it was, you know, having followed Al's career and seeing all the wonderful things that he'd done, and I always loved, you know, and a lot of people don't know a lot of stuff that he played on as well, you know?
Right.
But it's like, he played on a lot of Patrice Russian tracks that I exactly. really loved.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's like worked on as a session player, but also, you know, his role as a songwriter in Earth, Wind & Fire. So I just thought to myself, I've done this now, and with making this new album, there should be, you know, if there's anything, should be like a fresh point. It should be like, yes, bring in the Matt Coopers and the Maces, you know, who you regulate your backbone, but right. bring out with like real with some real young ones, you know, like, but not necessarily people who are just of a totally different direction, just in an attempt to change your sound, because a lot of people try to reinvent themselves by just bringing in other people who've already got their sound.
Right.
I didn't want anybody coming in. I made clear to those people, those younger guys coming in, because they do have their own sound, and they're from a different kind of generation to me. So they're listening and playing different stuff. But I made it clear to them that I want the best of what I'm hearing from them. But this is an Incognito album, so I really wanted it to kind of for them to be working with us, you know, and allowing me to take their sound and shape them, rather than kind of being like adamant about the style that they wanted to go in.
Correct. You know,
to allow me to kind of flex with them and bring what I bring to our sound.
Well, you know, that's exactly what happened. It's interesting you brought that up, because I've been listening to Surreal since I got it when it was released, and all the tenets and all the magic of Incognito over the years is evident in this album. But with Mo and Natalie, who I know is, I believe, is one of the most sought after vocalists in London right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo and Natalie, and you have Mesa coming on, all the magic is there, yet there's a certain freshness with Surreal that, and it's not to discount any of the other previous releases, but this particular release has a freshness about it, and I think it's due to the fact that you did have some younger vocalists come in, but you molded them to fit the Incognito sound. I mean, every track on that album is smoking.
Oh, great.
Every track on that album is smoking. Capricorn Sun is...
partly to do with another thing as well.
Yeah.
That's also a big part of that is when you listen to Positivity and 100 Degrees and Rising, I took the same stance that I took on this album.
Okay.
I wrote songs, more songs than I needed.
Right.
Like, usually I kind of like, you know, because of the financial limitations of a big band like this, playing this type of music and not having massive commercial success, you know, I still want to make records that sound great. That's going to cost a lot of money.
Of course.
So, you know, it's like very often I'm like, okay, we've got the 10, 15 tracks we need. You know, I'm not looking for any more now. I just want to do these and as quick as we can, best to our best ability, and let's get this out, you know? Let's
right.
trust on our... With this album, I went back, re-recorded, you know, wrote about 50 tracks, recorded about 30 tracks, whittled it down to the last 15, you know, weren't afraid to go back and say, you know what, we really need to spend another couple of days re-looking at the drums on track this, then that, you know?
Yes.
And you know, and the relay. It was... It when you do that, you end up with, you know, a certain kind of, you know, a quality from top to bottom, because you're kind of A&Ring everything without any... without any barriers.
Right.
You're exactly. saying, we've removed the barriers now, we're just going for, like, for the product to be of this level.
You Correct.
Know? And Correct. And that's what happens, you know, and I can't do that all the time. In you know, it's like sometimes it's just like, you know, it's like, you know what, if you spend another penny, you're not going to eat.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to be able to kind of to pay the rent this month, you know.
Right,
so, like,
right. Exactly.
I posted that on this record, you know.
Yeah, it works really well because, again, all the magic is there, yet this is another release, another Incognito release, which is mm-hmm. is just phenomenal. And all the releases before that were phenomenal. So every time there is a release from Incognito, whether it's released as a European or Japanese version first and then the American version comes out, I just know there's going to be quality music on there that is going to transcend, in some cases, the release before that. So it's great. I mean, I noticed that one of your longtime bandmates, Richard Bailey, mm-hmm. who plays drums, wasn't on this. But then again, here comes Francisco, and it was just a perfect it was a perfect match. I was my jaw was open. My mouth was open when they did the percussion and the drums breakdown at the DC concert. It was amazing. So I go back and listen to the tracks on Surreal, and the magic is there. It's just like, well, Richard wasn't there, but here's Francisco, and it's a perfect fit. And you have, again, you have that knack for a continuity that's just from release to release to release. It's great.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Thank you for that, because, you know... you're obviously going to work with kids that, you know, they may be younger, but that you know and you have faith in, you know.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes that faith isn't shown by certain fans. Because, you know, after a while of being in this band, I know everybody has their favorites.
Sure.
You know, there's people going to come to the gig and, oh, Pete Big ain't on drums. What's happening, you know? It's like, Richard Bailey, where's Richard Bailey? Where's Randy Hope Taylor?
Where's Randy Hope Taylor, exactly.
You know, and it's like, there's always going to be somebody who, you know, whose bubble you're going to burst.
Right.
But what's really important, you know, in a band like this is the talent that's gone on before, and
right.
people like Richard and Randy, they set a yardstick for the others. But sometimes you can't get fresh sounds from the same guys.
Exactly.
You know, you can't get fresh sounds. You can't. You can't get an you know. Sometimes also there's a certain, you tread with certain respect with certain people that you don't really want to kind of make them sweat and work hard.
Right.
You know. It's like with someone like Francesco, I could say, you know what? After like 6 or 7 hours of drumming and trying like 10 different kind of bass drums, and I decided, my engineer said, we should try and put the mics all the way around and change the mics and we'll start again. These other guys, you know, some of these other guys, great as they are, they will kind of get, you know, they were like, oh, what's happening, man? You guys ain't got your stuff together.
Right, right, rather exactly.
Rather than see it as like we're experimenting. To achieve what we've achieved on this record, we needed to experiment. We needed to have people who, you know, move the drum kit from the big room and put it in the vocal booth and, right. and kind of take off their shirts and kind of like sweat in that booth for a while because we wanted a certain sound on the snare and on the bass drum for that one track, you
right.
know?
Right, exactly.
And it was that it was that experimental nature of the record that I really liked as well. Right. You know, little things that other people may not consider that was going on in the record. You know, it's like, so take for instance, young Zhao Caetano, who's playing percussion on the album.
Ooh, yes,
he's 22 years old. You know, it's like I was, you know, at one point I said to him, "Well, we need this the kind of sound. You know, we need that kind of like watery drum sound at the front." You know, I knew what I was talking about,
right?
You know, and that kind of percussion that was. And I said to him, you know, the kind of we want the whole track to feel a bit like Curtis Mayfield,
right?
And he went, "Who's that?"
I read that somewhere, yeah.
You know, and I was like, "You're kidding me, man!" You know, every day I would just kind of make him like, I would burn him a bunch of tunes, you know, it's like because. You know, I'm an endless source of like tunes for these young musicians as well. Like, you know, yeah. And I know I can mold their playing into something. You know, sometimes it's hard to get an established drummer to right. play like Alphonse Mouzon on a certain track. You know, with that kind of sound, and I say to him, you know, and I want that kind of bass drum sound that Harvey Mason got on the Headhunters, and it's like. You know, and when you're talking with established musicians who've already got their sound, their sponsorship drum kit set up by someone before they even come in, right. you're not going to get that experimental. You're not going to get somebody go, "Oh, I see, you know, play them this, play." I love that about these kids, you know, it's like they were like so willing, you know, we'd go to, you know, half the afternoon we'd spend recording when we took recording breaks, we would go to shops and pick out bits of percussion in the shop, and I'd say, "Oh, there's a rotor toms over there.
Nice.
That's the thing that we need for that Curtis thing." And he would go, "Nice. Oh, right. Should I buy them?" I said, "No, I'll buy them and put them in the studio, and we'll bring him in, and he would be messing around with them and go, 'Oh, great, great.' You know, it's like this is working. You know, so you'll hear those moments inside the album, but they're not kind of, you know, it's not for the listener to really hear us toiling away.
Right, exactly.
But I do appreciate people who are like kind of like know that they're, you know, have an idea of what the process is. And for me, it's very, very exciting.
Extremely exciting, considering that I'm a guitarist and I have a studio yeah. as well. I know.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And now that you mention that quickly, the behind-the-scenes video that you recorded for Goodbody Yesterday, that was fantastic.
Well, thanks.
I think that gives the average listener an idea of what really goes on and what can go on in a recording session. And it was a nice behind the scenes look yeah. at how things came together. Really, really nice.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That yeah. was really great.
You know, sometimes then it's like the best way is the simplest way. You know, it's like almost like performance type videos. You know.
Right.
Although we were miming, we weren't. That was the track is the recorded track that you're hearing.
Yes.
But we were playing it. You know.
Right.
The good thing about being in the studio, we were literally playing the tune. You know. Uh-huh. So every time we must have played that tune like a hundred times. I said to everybody, don't bother learning this song. For rehearsing this, we won't. But you know, like in terms of for when we shoot the video. You're going to be playing it so many times, you're going to have it in your head.
Right.
So what it turned out, we looked at the, you know, we briefly looked at it before we started shooting it. Uh-huh. And then we played it over and over and over and over again all day long.
That is fantastic. That is great. I wanted to ask you another question. It's not necessarily about Surreal, but I know that you've worked with a number of artists, heavyweights, like you said, Chaka Khan and mm-hmm. George Benson. You've done some producing for Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. Maxi Priest. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody on the horizon that you'll be doing work with like that in the future?
I'm working with some European people who are just... who at some point you guys gonna hear, you know, people like Mario Biondi,
yes,
who's huge already in it, but I'm producing his album at the moment. And because of him, I'm, you know, obviously got had a ton of really love. I got to work with Al Jarreau,
to
write and record with Al Jarreau on this album that's coming up. And there's always going to be people on the horizons. You know, it's like I did some work with Larry Carlton on for the Benefit record that we did in Japan.
Right.
And, you know, so there's a kind of like a connection now, and I can't wait to kind of do something together with him on a record at some point. But I don't know whether it'll be, I leave my horizons kind of like, you know, my musical story is pretty flexible.
Yeah.
What happens along the way. I don't want to kind of say this is how I'm going to make the next record. You know, the moment you finish your record, you start the next one anyway. You know,
yeah, it's exactly.
Like little bits of paper, you know, all around me right now. You know that that's got bits of lyrics on it, and you know, I've already kind of started. But I rather than kind of think about who I want to work with right now, I think I want to look into Bluey a little bit more because
excellent.
I think I want to kind of, I think this year I'll probably do a solo record, my first solo record.
Wow.
You know, because I'm not a great singer and I can't really kind of justify being a vocalist on an Incognito album. How am I going to pop my head in there and kind of throw down a little vocal? Because, you know, right. It's like I have an idea. But, you know, now I'm not under pressure. Incognito allows me not to be under pressure to kind of like, to have something that needs to be played on the radio.
Right.
What I want to do is just a record that I'm happy with, knowing that there's a lot of fans that have asked me about it, and I could take maybe on the road and go, you know, oh, by the way, I did this Bluey album. Do you know, here it is. It's a cheap record. Never listen to it. You know,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
There are songs and ideas and some production that is. You know, that's a bit away from Incognito.
Okay.
I'm talking about. I don't know whether we're going to produce it this year, but I started work with Yan King K from Brand New Evies.
Right.
And we've had to put. You know, that's the thing about having bands that that need to tour and you know, we both having to kind of go to work on our various projects, him with Brand New Evies and me with Incognito, so. I took the lead singer away from that side project and put her in our band.
I've read that.
We've got Natalie in the band right now. And it's kind of hard. I've got my brother who's a killing guitarist, you know. It's like, wow. And I really want to make a record with him at some point. So we're going to get started and hopefully have something by the end of the year. There's so much on the horizon because there's so much music around me. But for the immediate future, Deera's next album and Mario Biondi's album are the three things that I'm mainly concentrating on. I have put it out there to Mesa that I don't know whether, because she's still promoting a very recent album.
Yes, she is.
Probably be 2013 that we actually, if we start collecting songs now, maybe do, I want to produce her next album if she'll allow me, because
I hope so.
I think there's something about us working together that sounds pretty unique, and people tend to be drawn to it. So
oh, very much
wouldn't
so.
Wouldn't be a bad ticket.
Very, very much so. Speaking of family, quickly, I won't keep you too much longer.
Yeah.
Your son, Daniel Mounick, DJ Venom.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've done work, he's done work with you on tracks like Mesa's Closure.
Yeah.
There was the Paradiso Project, which I am proud to own. Yeah. And
yes.
there was a number of remixes he's done. I think you released a remix album last year that he did some work on as well. Will you be doing any work with
That's
him?
Right.
Will there be any work done with him?
You know, right now he's based in Brazil.
Is he?
He's produced the last Marcos Valley album.
He's produced
the latest Azimuth album.
Really?
I mean, if you listen to that album, I mean, like, really spread as much love as you can on that record, because I'm sure that once you get it, you'll see that they're back to their original old form.
I'm going to look for that as soon as we get done. I didn't know they had a new one out.
Yeah, he's done the Azimuth album, the Marcos Valley, and he also did Sabrina Melieros album. The Azimuth album is it's called Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A.
Okay, good.
He's like the main producer on that record.
Excellent, excellent. I would definitely look for that.
And you know, so his whole Brazilian, I think that it's his time to develop his thing right now. You know, which is right. Which is really nice because, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to have a lot of common ground and come across each other along the way. But
absolutely,
yeah. You know, but with he's actually doing his thing, which is great.
Absolutely, fantastic. I have, you know, Blue, I have a ton of questions, but I'm gonna keep them short. One thing I did want to ask you is something that I'm always chomping at the bit for, and that is, will there be or is there in the works a remix CD for Surreal?
You know, it's like as soon as somebody shows me some dosh, that'll happen. You know, it's like for me, it's only money stopping that.
Yeah, I understand.
You know? Because there's a lot of DJs offering me to do remixes.
Yeah.
But the kind of people I want to do this, I know who I, you know, I know which person I already want to work with. And I think that once you feel that, rather than just kind of give it out to a bunch of people, it kind of sells the record a bit short.
Yeah, I understand.
Know, if you've got like 10 guys that are just kind of like clamoring to do it, but don't really bring that essence that you know where we can go to, because I'm you know, I can remix stuff myself, you know,
right.
But I think that once you I think that was the beauty of like some of the early remixes that we did, you know, it's like Morales wasn't just kind of like a guy just kind of there in the queue just waiting, going yeah, like, exactly. Oh, let me have a shot.
Right.
We went to him, you know, we kind of like found him, we wanted him, you know, it's like we saw him out, you know, because yeah. and we raised the finances, we actually kind of like, you know, we took all the right steps to make that happen in the same way,
right? I can't
able to kind of feature on the records, you know.
Exactly.
And I think just as much attention as I would put to finding a feature to say this, we need Jocelyn Brown on this track, we need Mesa on this track, I would like to kind of, if I do a remix album, I'd like to say this, I'd like this guy to do this, I'd like that guy to do that, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I know back from looking at all the remix CDs that I've purchased that you put out, you've picked some heavyweights like Morales, like IG Culture, like Victor Duplay, yeah. Jazzanova, Ski Okenfull, yeah. Who I believe is involved in this album, I think.
He's on a couple of tracks on his record.
Exactly.
And he co-wrote one with me, yeah.
So I know that if it is to come to fruition, it's going to be as hot as the others. I mean, every DJ remixer that you've picked to touch something has breathed life into it. The Castles in the Air remix by IG Culture, that is crazy. That, I mean, I still pump that mix on a regular basis.
The timing was just right for what he was doing with that broken kind of feel as well, you know?
Goodness, yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. It was really fantastic. I am going to wrap up the interview. I know it's getting late. I wanted to thank you for sharing that delightful story you did at the DC concert about this gentleman you were following around when you were young who was giving you your musical education. I found that to be to be quite heartwarming. It was a great story.
Oh, thank you.
It was a really great story.
Thank you. I'll always have fond memories of that last American tour, and DC played its part in that. You know,
it was fantastic. The instrumentals, I know that you have a specific way that you write. Every instrumental that you put out that I can remember, whether it's been a slower tempo or a faster one, I think they're just phenomenal. What really hooked me on Incognito, the first instrumental, which I think is probably at the top of my list, is I like to call a little instrumental called Get to the Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
That is a phenomenal track. I mean, the horn arrangement, it's so live. It's an exciting song for an instrumental. I really like it a lot.
Yeah.
I really love that track. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is there anything...
funny enough, just before we came to America, we had that in the set.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Man. Wow. Like,
the thing is, we ran out of mics in America because we would need mics on the boys, on the whole boys, so we could do that, hey, you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The feeling.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like kind of almost the Crusaders kind of like, you know, coming together and kind of like just singing, kind of like they're not singers, but
right.
They would just kind of do these like kind of like little kind of male chanty kind of things, you know, on top of the record, you know.
It's yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know,
that's a really nice track. I was discussing quickly on Facebook, on the Surreal Facebook page. You know, everybody's excited about the new release and what have you, and as you introduce the band at the end of the DC concert, which I'm assuming you have done on a number of concerts, especially here in America,
mm-hmm.
you covered the global span with the mm-hmm. musicians. And it's not just for Surreal. It's for every release that you've had in the past. And I was making some comments on the Facebook page, and I was saying that I officially dub Incognito the International Groove Alliance. you've got everybody, and I think again for me as a musician growing up in the 70s and playing guitar in the 70s and still playing in a band now,
brilliant.
What Incognito brings to the table is what's in my mind anyways what's sorely needed in music today, and not just a specific genre but music in general. The term International Groove Alliance not only applies itself to the music, but the attitude, the humanitarianism, and everything that you bring in terms of positivity to what Incognito brings musically to the world. And I wanted to especially thank you for that.
Thanks for acknowledging that part of my work. It's probably the most important part of my work. So, well, not probably, it is.
I understand. Is there any last comments you'd like to make on the new release so far?
Well, it's always a joy to play new material live.
But
what I would say about this album is that sometimes making music can be a journey of self-discovery, and sometimes you do it and you make an album and you almost like you play a second person, you know, and you look something like Deep Waters. It wasn't my story. It was me writing about somebody else.
I understand.
But with Surreal, there's a lot of self discovery in that for me, and as you know, and you could imagine how much discovery I made outside of myself in there because of the nature of the bringing in so many young and new people. But I think that it. At this time, in the world, the people need to kind of like really look within, because I've been struggling, you know, a lot with a lot of things in my life, but I think that you know, it begins wherever the answers are going to come, rather than look outside of it. It really comes from within. So I think taking that attitude with this record for me has kind of allowed me to kind of gain an international platform again. And I think just for anybody out there is that because it begins with us, you know, it's like make everything that you do, you know, a journey of self-discovery.
Absolutely. Louis, my brother, thank you for taking the time to speak to me late this evening in London. I understand you're on tour break right now, and I think you start back up on the 25th in London.
Yeah, I'm on what promotion duties at the moment.
I got you.
Interviews,
oh, yeah.
Internet, reaching out to people, and you know, it's like right now the record's gone number one on iTunes and in the R&B charts in Japan.
Yes, sir. I saw the post yesterday.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, we're trying to make the best of Japan because a bunch of American imports came in and hurt their market. So it's like having to work there, having to kind of like catch up, pick up someone, you know, do, it's like it's like a sports team.
Right.
You know, you need to nurture the one with the wounded knee. You know, you need to make sure they're fixed and they got the ice pack on and that they're all right for the next game.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and you do a bit of catching here, a bit of batting there. You know, there's a lot of that going on right now.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, I know there'll be great success. I wish you great success as well as the entire International Groove Alliance of Incognito. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me this evening.
Thanks a lot, man. Send me a link to your tunes.
I definitely will. I appreciate that, Bluey. I definitely will do that, and I'm wishing you a great rest this evening and a great tomorrow as well.
Take care, brother. Nice talking to you.
All right, brother. You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It was definitely a pleasure talking with the man behind the International Groove Alliance, better known as Incognito. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.